From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. The number of female suicide bombers in Iraq is growing. The U.S. military says 14 women have carried out suicide attacks so far this year, compared to 8 for all of last year. Some women's rights activists say this is a symptom of the effect that prolonged violence is having on Iraqi society. NPR's Ivan Watson has this story on the phenomenon of female suicide bombers.
Umal Harith sits with her face covered in a black veil to conceal her identity as she tells the story of why she tried to become a suicide bomber. In a videotaped interview with an Iraqi journalist who works for NPR, the 28-year-old Iraqi woman went through a cycle of emotions, anguish, hatred, and despair. She describes the day she learned that her beloved older brother, Mohammed, died fighting against American soldiers in Diyala province, north of Baghdad.
I collapsed. My life was destroyed. No one can imagine how much my brother meant to me. God forgive me. My husband tried to calm me. He said, "Don't be afraid. Mohammed is in heaven now. God willing, we will meet him. God willing, we will join him. We will have our revenge against the Americans."
Umal Harith says her husband was an Arab from outside Iraq whom she met and married after he came here to fight the U.S. occupation. After the death of her brother earlier this year, Umal Harith says her husband put together a plan to attack an Iraqi military base near her home in the town of Bakuba. The husband and wife were to carry out a double suicide bombing.
I would be the first one to go to the base because the guards just stare when a woman walks past and they never search women. So I would go inside wearing a suicide vest. And when they all gather around me, I would blow myself up. Then when people were busy with the explosion, my husband would drive a car bomb into the military base. Afterwards, he and I would meet in heaven, next to God Almighty.
In the end, Umal Harith never became a suicide bomber. One day before the attack was to take place, she says her husband was killed while reconnoitering the base. Just a few months later, in a nearby town, 29 people were killed and more than 52 wounded in a double suicide attack that was disturbingly similar to Umal Harith's plan. Colonel Don Bacon is a U.S. military spokesman.
A female suicide bomber detonated a suicide vest. It appears that she was trying to look like she was pregnant. Detonated by a cafe or by an area that was also by a kid's clothing store. And the intent there was to draw in the first responders and the emergency crews, and then the second bomber was a male, and he detonated. And that was the explosion that created most of the casualties.
You've now seen an exponential increase of female suicide terrorists this year alone, if you want to look at the figures.
Farhana Ali is an analyst with the RAND Corporation. She has studied female participation in guerrilla movements from Latin America to Southeast Asia.
Women had weapons training during the time of Saddam Hussein, but never before in the history of Iraq have you seen women take on such a tactic as suicide terrorism.
The female bombers tend to be Iraqi Sunni Arabs. Colonel Bacon says many of them have relatives in al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Some of them have lost loved ones due to their terrorist attacks or operations by the Iraqi security forces or by the coalition forces. So there may be some revenge motive as well.
But 20-year-old Noor Abid Ghazal says she wasn't motivated by revenge when she approached a Shiite parliament member's home in Baghdad wearing an explosive belt. Ghazal spoke to NPR from her cell at this crowded women's prison. Iraqi police arrested her when she fainted outside the parliament member's house. Ghazal was sentenced to 7 years in jail for terrorism. Social workers say Ghazal was a teenage orphan who fell in with a gang that carried out insurgent attacks and repeatedly abused the young woman.
They threatened me, beat me, and forced me to have sex with them at gunpoint.
Ghazal insists she was tricked into carrying out the bombing.
They fed me sedative pills and made me drink alcohol, then wrapped my body with explosives. I didn't know what I was doing.
Women's rights activists say that as Iraqi society has deteriorated over the past 5 years, women have increasingly become the victims of violence. Farhana Ali of the RAND Corporation argues that makes women more vulnerable to exploitation by insurgents who see female bombers as a strategic asset.
The women are able to shroud their weapons underneath their abayas, the Islamic dress. And in doing so, they become invisible. And it's actually creating an enormous security problem for U.S. and Iraqi forces.
Islamic tradition prevents men from being able to search Iraqi women. And there are very few female officers working in the Iraqi police and army. At an army checkpoint in downtown Baghdad, this Iraqi sergeant says he and his fellow soldiers are now much more cautious about passing women.
We have orders to shoot dead any woman who comes with a speeding car and refuses to stop or who ignores a warning signal that we give.
The Iraqi security forces have announced plans to recruit more women to face the growing threat from female insurgents. Female suicide bombings have also raised fears among ordinary Iraqis, like Ali Abdul Amir. He drives a battered white and orange Volkswagen taxi around Baghdad. I'm more suspicious of women than men now, Amir says. These days, whenever a female passenger gets out of his car, Amir says he searches the vehicle to make sure she hasn't left any explosives behind. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Baghdad.
And you can see video of the would-be female suicide bomber discussing why and how she planned to carry out her attack. That's at npr.org.